This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Our next guest credited and created the iPod, building the iPhone. He founded the smart home company Nest. He spent more than 9 years at Apple, including being advisor to Steve Jobs, who was then CEO and, of course, co-founder of Apple. In the past, our next guest has talked and tweeted about device addiction and Silicon Valley's responsibility to fix it.
We're talking about Tony Fadell, the principal at Future Shape. He's the founder and former CEO of Nest Labs, as Carol mentioned. He's got more than 300 patents to his name. He's also the author of a new book. It's called Build, an Unorthodox Guide to Making Things Worth Making. Tony joins us from Palo Alto. Tony, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Carol. Thanks, Tim, for having me on. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you with us. Hey, we got to start with the iPod because the end of an era this week, Tony. I know you know, but Apple, after 20 years, finally discontinuing the iPod. This is a product that you are credited with helping invent. Talk to us about what it means for Apple to discontinue it and the impact that the iPod has had, not just on Apple, but on consumer technology.
Well, you know, the iPod, it's bittersweet, obviously. You see your baby go. But, you know, at the end of the day, the march of technology, the drumbeat of technology never stops. Right. And I've been in this business long enough to know that you can't get too, you know, too wedded to any one thing because, you know, you might have to eat your own. And that's exactly what the iPhone did. You know, the iPod created the conditions at Apple to be able to make the iPhone. So without the iPod, there would have been no iPhone. So it feels really good to know that what we did in the iPod and brought Apple into where it is today. You know, it was last week, I guess, the most valuable company on the planet. And that was because of the iPod.
Well,
that's really, really wonderful to know.
Well, and Tony, talk to us about your journey, because that's so much a part of this book, Build, and who you wanted to read this book and what lessons you hope or what you hope people would take away from reading it.
Well, I think, you know, I step back and I thought about the mentors that I've had over the years, and that's the reason why I'm able to talk to you today, is those people helped me. And if I didn't get that help back in the day, maybe I would not be here. And so when I thought about those mentors, most of them had died. And I thought, oh, it's now my turn to be mentor. And so how can I do that at scale and take the journeys through companies like General Magic and Philips and Apple and Nest, and all the lessons learned on building transformative technology, and really the books about human nature. So I'm trying to really go for, you know, what were you, if you were in high school or if you were in college or a new grad, what do you need to know? Look behind the scenes of the products that you probably grew up with and how those were developed, but not just like from a technical point of view, but from a human nature point of view, building your career, building products, building teams, companies, businesses. So it's all about trying to give back to help those people with their careers. And hopefully one day they'll change the world as well.
Well, so how did Steve Jobs help you?
Well, you know, I think for me, you know, he helped, one, by giving us an environment to actually thrive, to be able to create the iPod. That was the first thing. But the other one is really to learn about storytelling in detail. And what happens is you really need to not just create technology for technology's sake. That's what happened to General Magic, and that's what I learned so painfully of the disaster that was that company. And so watching him masterfully tell a story, a non-fictional story, through marketing and through the products that we created and all the customer touch points, you know, you get to see a master at work. And then we were able to then take those lessons and create a company like Nest and change the world there with a small, tiny team because we learned how to do it right. And Steve really was a master storyteller with using technology.
Tony Fadell is principal at FutureShape, also the founder and former CEO of Nest Labs. He led the teams that helped create the iPod, iPhone, and the Nest Learning Thermostat. Tony, when people hear an intro like that, they think of all the successes that you've had in your 30-plus career in hardware, but your book also goes into failure, specifically the first 10 years of your career before you were on the team at Apple that helped create the iPod. Tell us a little bit about that and the lessons that you learned in failing before succeeding.
Well, through failure, that's really the only way you learn. You know, in school, you're taught that failure is failure. And you need to learn and get an A, right? In life, it's exactly the opposite. When you fail and you keep pushing forward, you actually learn. And so the failure that was General Magic, which was creating the iPhone just 15 years too soon, right? There's a whole movie about it. What I learned there was that we were making a product for other geeks. We were trying to impress each other. We weren't trying to solve pain for customers that were in the world at that time, right? We didn't even know that there was such things as email and downloadable games and all that stuff till 15 years later. So that was one big thing. At Philips, where we created the Philips Velo and Nino, these were handheld products, I also learned about sales and marketing and how critical it was to, if you had a great story, to tell it properly.
Hey, Tony, hang on a second. We're going to continue, do a little bit more news, and then we'll continue with you. Tony Fadell over at FutureShape. His new book is called Build. We're going to continue that conversation. You are listening and watching on YouTube. Bloomberg Business Week, Carol Masser, Tim Stenovic. This is Bloomberg Radio.
This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
I want to get right back to Tony Fadell, principal at FutureShape. As we talked about, you know, spent 9 years at Apple, you know, credited with creating the iPod, building out the iPhone. He also founded the smart home company Nest. He's got a new book out. It's called Build, an Unorthodox Guide to Making Things Worth Making. And Tony, what I wanted to ask you is, what's worth making in today's environment?
What in terms of the environment?
Just in general, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. How do you make things worth making? So I always start with the pain. I'd much rather go where customers have pain. I don't want to give them vitamins. Some people like vitamins. Not everyone needs them. When you have pain, you need to squash that pain down. And it's even better if you give them a painkiller and a superpower at the same time, so they can do things with the product or service that they never thought possible before, and they feel like they have new superpowers. And so you really have to focus on the pain and do it in a way that people feel really amazing about it.
Okay, so it's clear how you did that at Nest with the Nest Learning Thermostat, a product that continues, I think, to solve a pain point in many consumers' lives.
We both have them.
Yeah, we both have them.
And disclosure.
Tony, but where's the pain? Where's the pain today? Because I look around and I see the innovation at a company like Meta Platforms, for example. And that's the metaverse. Do we feel pain in the real world and need to be in the metaverse?
I feel real pain from the climate crisis we have and the health crisis we have and our social crises we have that were generated out of disintermediation between humans. It first started with text and video and photos, and now we're going to say we're going to go in the metaverse and we're going to get connected and dance and have meetings. To me, that's toxic. We've seen what it's done in the past. You're not going to get into the metaverse. People are not going to want to go and live in there and dance in there and connect. We need to have controls on that stuff before we ever, you know, we've been talking about controls on text and Twitter, all these other things, these social platforms. Why do we want a new environment where it disconnects us even more and allows more toxicity to grow? Let's fix the social problems we have on the with the technology we have. Let's not create even more of them. So let's go, and also let's fix the problems in the real world, the climate crisis that we have. There are so many things that we need to address right now, and these goals that we have are coming so quickly. If not, we could lose it all. It's absolutely astonishing to me that we are diverting incredible, smart, brilliant brains and resources to things that are not solving the real problems that we have today.
So, you know, you talk about social and the social universe. Do you think Elon Musk is someone who can fix Twitter to some extent and some of the downside of that social media platform? And I don't think I'm saying anything subjective. I think many would argue that it can do a lot of good, but it can also do a lot of harm, like other social media.
Absolutely. It's not just Twitter. There's so many things. But could he fix it? He could fix it if he wants to fix it in the right way. I think what we have to understand here is we can't just go putting people back onto the Twitter platform if we don't change the environment at which they come back onto it with. If we continue to drive, you know, revenue based on amplifying misinformation and these kinds of things, then we have not done anything to fix Twitter or fix these social networks. We have to divorce the amplification mechanism from the revenue mechanism. If we don't do that, the toxicity will only grow, and we can't just let anyone on to say free speech. Free speech in the town square was never amplified. We should not amplify that for revenue purposes.
Do you think, Tony, some of these big tech companies have just become too big and kind of too controlling in terms of the narrative and the trend of where technology is going?
I think with great power comes great responsibility. And if they can't rein themselves in, then they're going to need to be reined in by the government or what have you. The inequity is growing so dramatically, and the concentration of power is growing so dramatically, not just in the people who use the products or are used by the products, but who also the ecosystems they create, and they continue to extract so much revenue from apps or what have you. It needs to be rebalanced. If not, we saw this in government. When there's inequity, there's revolution. They're going to have a revolution against them if they do not rein themselves in. So I do see the power growing too strong, and they're going to have to modulate down. Otherwise, they will be forced to do so.
Tony, last time you and I spoke was, I believe, back in 2018, and you were at that time pushing for controls on Apple products specifically, monitoring how much we were using those products to give Apple customers an idea of just how much time they were spending on their phones. Apple has since done that, and each week I get a really depressing report that shows how much time I'm spending on Apple devices. Are you satisfied with that type of disclosure that you're seeing from Apple right now, and what have you learned after taking on that project?
Well, that was something that they implemented based on public, you know, reaction to, you know, this screen time addiction. I think we're only 50% of the way there. It was a good start, but there has been really no innovation and continuing to take it to the next steps. So I think we still need not just Apple, but Google, all the different platforms, you know, PlayStation even. They need to go after and start looking at this, the what they can do for the screen time limitations and the information. So not just the tools and the control tools, but also the information by which we disclose what these apps can do, not just to kids, but also to adults. And if you look at it, you know, they now added over since that 2018, they added privacy labels to tell you what are the privacy things that these apps do and don't do. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have digital nutritional information about what these apps can do to kids or what have you when you do consume them? You know, do they have toxic ads inside these free-to-play games? Mm-hmm. You know, sure, they might be games that kids can play,
right,
but the ads that pop up, I've seen it with my daughter, they can be very toxic. And my daughter comes to me, you know, screaming, going, "What is this, Daddy?" So I think we need to be much more on what's going on and what we're consuming, just like nutrition labels on the side of a food product. We need to have that for our apps for this kind of addictive qualities of certain apps.
We've run out of time. I wish we had more. Please come back, because we'd love to continue this and really pick your brain too about thoughts when it comes to health and climate and things that we could definitely do in a better way and really address some of those areas where there is pain in our society. Tony, thank you so much. Tony Fadell, principal at Future Shape. His new book, check it out, Build an Unorthodox Guide to Making Things Worth Making.
Thank you.
Good
thank
stuff.
You. Yeah. Yeah. Very thoughtful. And considering all that's going on in our world.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.